Welcome to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. Today we continue our series on music, media, and the mind with Brian Newman, a guest speaker from South Africa. Brian Newman is an ex-rock musician who for 16 years has worked firsthand in the music industry and now for the last 10 years has done extensive research into the area of music and how it influences our world today. He is internationally known doing seminars in countries such as Germany, Austria, Czech Republic, Poland, South Africa, United States, and Canada. We are pleased to bring him in our studio, and we hope you will continue to be edified in this most influential language. Music is a language, and Brian has studied this language extensively and will now look more specifically at the media industry and how it influences people's lives today.
Welcome back to our Voices of a Dying Planet series. You may recall that last time we looked at the body temple principle that Paul shares with us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we established there very clearly that God is concerned about the things which we take in through the avenues to the soul, and that we established very clearly as well that they can either affect you positively or negatively. And that's why it is so important to consider what it is that you are assimilating every day, particularly in the area of the media and music and so on. And of course, as we continue today, we are going to head towards our ultimate goal, and that is to get a better understanding of how the language of music works. You may recall as well that I referred to a man by the name of Wilson Brian Key, who has done some very important research into the media, and that he is the world's foremost authority on subliminal persuasion, which is a technique that is used in the media to persuade you to buy products and to take notice of those wares and things that they are trying to make available. He also said, Wilson Brian Key, that media is actually managing our minds today, reaching us on an emotional level. There was a science that actually began way back in the time before Christ, in the time of the Greeks. More accurately, a man by the name of Protagoras developed a science which became known as sophistry, a means of persuading people to do something, to buy something. The dictionary definition of the term sophistry or sophism is a false argument, one intended to deceive, from the Greek word sophisma, which means a clever device. Intended, in other words, it is a deceptive means of persuading somebody. A sophist is someone who is a captious or false reasoner. The word sophisticated comes from this as well. And it means to involve a subject or a person in sophistry, to mislead a person, and thus to deprive them of natural simplicity, to make artificial by worldly experience. In other words, by the wisdom of the world. And as we noticed in our seminar or in our presentation last time, that the world has a wisdom. The world's wisdom today would suggest that it doesn't matter what you take in through the avenues to the soul. It doesn't matter what you look at. It doesn't matter what you listen to. Everything is neutral. It depends on your culture and your background and so on as to how you are going to interpret or relate to different things. But of course, we showed the fallacy of that according to what the Bible teaches us. But this principle of sophistry, this science, is today utilized in the media industry to attract our attention to different products and things that people are selling. Wilson Brian Key records in his book, The Age of Manipulation, he says, the engineering of consent. In other words, how the engineering of how to cause somebody to to consent to that which you are trying to present to them or sell them. The engineering of this consent assaults human perception at both conscious and unconscious levels. That means subconscious levels, especially the latter, the subconscious level. Once the group or collective consciousness is programmed into what has been called culture, virtually any bill of goods can be sold at conscious levels. What exactly does that mean? Well, that means, first of all, through a technique which we have already outlined as sophistry, which will become clearer as we continue, through this science or technique, you can persuade people on a subconscious level, in other words, before they even realize what you are doing, you can program them into desiring to have that product that you want to sell to them. And once you have programmed them on that level, you can sell them just about any bill of goods. In the advertising, basically this means supply and demand. Create the demand for the product. Once you have created the demand for the product, then you give the goods. Now, of course, if you are obviously going out there trying to create a demand for the product, sometimes people will get suspicious. But if you can create a demand within the framework of the culture without somebody even realizing that you are doing this, then they are on an emotional level, because they have this programming, of course, works at an emotional level from the understanding, based on the understanding that people make decisions based on their emotional state. So once you can get them in that correct emotional level, then you can present them with the goods and they will buy the goods. For example, somebody may not even realize that they, or even think that they need a particular product. And if you've watched some of these morning programs where they're selling on television, where they are advertising and selling some of these gimmicky things, for example, where they're advertising some new exercise program or tool that you can use, or something that you can use in the kitchen that will make things so much better and quicker and so on, you know, all these little gimmicky products that people can buy, you watch the program, you rush out, you watch the program, and suddenly you feel, hey, I think I need that product. And you rush out down to the store and you go and you buy the product. You come home, you use the product. 6 months later, you open a cupboard and boom, this thing falls out the cupboard that you bought 6 months before, and you think, wow, I haven't used this for 6 months. But at that time, you felt on an emotional level, you felt, I need the product. And you went out making a decision based on your emotional state at that time, went out, bought the product, used it. But it may not necessarily have been something that you really, really needed. And this is how products are sold. But there is a technique, specifically on the subconscious level. And of course, you know that in advertising they use music to create an atmosphere, because music taps into the emotion. It sets an emotional state or atmosphere or a tone. So if they can get you, and then of course the way in which the product is advertised and presented, all the dialogue and everything that goes along with it, really promotes this thing on such a level, combined with the music and everything else, that you cannot help but feel stimulated that you need it and to want to go out and buy that product. Back in the, and this is another level on how the whole concept works of programming on the subconscious level. It was back in the 60s and indeed in the 70s, and the technique is still used today. But what they would do is, just before the movie started in a movie house, you would have the, in other words, there would be interval, and before the interval you would have the period where they watch the preliminaries and the trailers for the forthcoming movies and so on. And what they experimented with is that they would take a film, and of course you know how film is made, that you watch in movie houses, not like videotape film, but film, where you have many, many different frames which make up a picture. But what they would do is they would insert a few frames, flash frames, within the pictures that make up the actual film or the picture that people are looking at. Now, they may be watching something entirely different. But in that flash frame, for example, may be a product like Coca-Cola or something which is being advertised. Just a very quick flash frame of an ice cool glass of Coca-Cola, for example, with a Coca-Cola label and something, a splab that says, buy Coca-Cola. as that film runs by very, very quickly, you may not even be aware on a subconscious level that you are seeing it. In other words, the conscious eye does not pick it up. You're not aware, but subconsciously you are taking in that flash frame. And they experimented with this. They would show it in the preliminaries. Flash frame would come in a few times during those preliminaries. People were not even aware that they that, let's say for argument's sake, Coca-Cola was being advertised. When the actual break came before the movies and people went out to buy their drinks, what was it that people went out to buy? Of course, they went out and everybody bought Coca-Cola, because they had been stimulated on a subconscious level without realizing it. The brain took in the information and they were stimulated to go out and buy the Coca-Cola. Now, this is one example of how the technique is used, but there are many other examples as well. That, for example, they use the same technique in printed material where they will put shading into pictures, which may suggest very often things like sexuality, or may even be not necessarily in the shading, but just in the way in which sexuality is emphasized. And by the way, you are well aware of the fact, most of us are aware of the fact, that sex sells products. This the advertising industry is very much aware of. They've somehow come to the conclusion and realized that people seem to be stimulated and attracted very easily through sexuality. People seem to relate to that very easily, and it seems to draw the attention, capture the attention, in a way that many other things do not. So this is one thing they use. But anyway, so people go out and buy this product. What often happens, and let's get back to the Coca-Cola story. What often happens is this. Somebody, let's say you were sitting inside that audience who were having that flash frame that the audience was being exposed to of Coca-Cola, went out. You desired, you felt the thirst, you felt you wanted to go buy something, but you did not go out and buy Coca-Cola. The reason being that on principle, you have decided that you don't drink Coca-Cola. For argument's sake, and of course I use this just as an example. Consider this very carefully. And this will help us to understand that it is not safe for human beings to make decisions based on their emotions. And that is how we make most of our decisions, and this is how the media get us to make decisions. We need a higher standard for decision making. And there is only one higher standard. You cannot rely on human wisdom or worldly wisdom. The highest standard is the standard of God, which gives us the principles, the parameters within which we make decisions. For example, you may feel stimulated to steal something. You may see something you desire and you may want to steal it, but you know that the Bible teaches, thou shalt not steal. So on principle, irrespective of your desire, you make a decision based on the biblical principle, and that is, I don't steal. Adultery or whatever else it may be, you make a decision based on that principle, irrespective of the emotion that you are feeling right now, that you are being stimulated to feel. So you may not go out and buy that Coca-Cola during the break between the movies because you, on principle, don't drink Coca-Cola. You see how important it is? Today the world teaches us that, hey, we can make decisions and it doesn't matter. One thing's good for you, one thing's good for you. And if it feels good, and you've heard the slogan before, if it feels good, do it. But according to biblical definition, this is not a safe way for making different decisions. Now, this technique of working at the emotional level of a human being to stimulate them to make those decisions is used purposefully in the media advertising industry. In fact, Wilson Bryan Key states, he says that media technicians cannot, however, develop credible illusions accidentally. They must know what they are doing. And, importantly, he says, they must disguise from audiences what they are doing or that they are doing anything beyond the superficially obvious. And basically, he's saying that people must be made to feel that whatever it is that I am being exposed to through the media, that I am being stimulated to buy, is just very honest and open advertising. There is nothing subliminal, nothing hidden, nothing that is persuading me on a level that I am not aware of. But this is the thing. Most people don't realize that they are being trapped through the sophistry that is being used. But of course the media disguises this. Another way in which this whole concept works is many products today that are being sold that have nothing to do, for example, with sexuality. You will have a woman, for example, advertising a half-naked woman dressed in very revealing clothing or whatever, selling something like a car, like car batteries or cars or cellular telephones. I'm often tempted to ask the question, well, what on earth does a half-naked woman have to do with cellular telephones and car batteries? Of course, it has nothing to do with it, really. That is just the mechanism through which your attention is attracted to the product. An emotional state is invoked within you, within the human organism, within the mind, and then you are taking notice of what it is they want to sell, and that pleasure stimulation, and this is very important, they want to stimulate the pleasure aspect of the mind. So when you feel that pleasure, that's stimulating because of the association with sexuality, and of course they realize, as we have said, that their people seem to find this connect this with the pleasure relationships that we make, then you will take notice of the product and you, if things go according to plan, may be stimulated to buy it. Unless you have the product already, you have something similar, or you realize on principle that this is something I don't need and I don't use it. And that, of course, as I've already emphasized, is very important. For example, this is not just speculation on the part of people like me who are concerned about how the media is every day influencing us, and people like Wilson Bryan Key. The U.S. Treasury Department of Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms, the ATF, also gave a definition of this subliminal embedding with relation to the sexual aspect in advertising, and it was included in its August 6, 1984 New Rules and Regulations document. And these are some of the things they said. One prevalent form of subliminal technique, this is a method technique, was described as the insertion of words or body forms, embedding, in other words, embedding these things in the picture, by the use of shadows or shading or the substitutions of forms and shapes generally associated with the body. The consumer, that means you and I, the people who are out there being exposed to the advertising of these products, does not perceive them at a normal level of awareness, and thus is given no choice whether to accept or reject the message, as in the case of normal, or let's call it honest, advertising. The ATF went on to say that this kind of advertising is forbidden. But Wilson Bryan Key reveals in his book, he says, no, it might have been forbidden by the ATF, but people are still today continually using this technique in advertising. And one of the reasons why you can get away with it is because it is subliminal. Not even the ATF realize when you are using subliminal advertising, and that's the whole aim. It's subliminal. Nobody perceives it at a normal level. Those who are creating the... Of course, obviously, if you are aware of some of the techniques and know how to spot them, you may be able to do it. But it is not a very easy thing to do. It is subliminal, and thus it is a technique which is continually used in the media, even, of course, in our present time, to sell products. And, of course, it has been understood by revolutionaries since the beginning of time already that if you can program people on this cultural level, then you need to call, if you want to program them on this cultural level, the way in which is being used in advertising media, you can ultimately cause them or persuade them to abandon their traditions and so on. In other words, the way that they have been living and functioning within their culture, if you can get to them on this emotional type of level, then you can change the way in which they behave, the way in which they govern themselves, and the way in which they think. Now, some may think, well, that doesn't really sound like it's possible to me. Maybe we can persuade one another individually to go out and buy products, but think about the media. Think about how everybody in the world is reached every single day through all the different mechanisms used by the media today. If a band, let's use music as an example, if a band like the Rolling Stones, for example, release a record, Within days, the whole world, people who are watching television, listening to the radio, and so on, are actually exposed to the music. Thus, an atmosphere is created, and they are stimulated on whatever level it is that the music is stimulating. That, of course, we need to discuss a little bit later on how that works. So it is not a far-fetched idea to consider that cultural and political revolution go hand in hand. Revolutionaries understand if a people can be persuaded to abandon their traditions and their mores and their cultural and religious norms, then they can easily be led to accept radical political changes. And it is on this level that we want to delve into in our next presentation. So far, we have looked at the body temple principle and understood that we can be influenced through the avenues positively or negatively. We have looked at some of the technique that is used today in the media and advertising that is used to persuade us to buy the products and to get those things, make decisions, in other words, based on an emotional level. But now we want to look at some very serious issues in our next program about exactly how this takes place and ultimately what role it is that music plays in this decision-making process. You will be amazed by the things which we discover. Once again, think of the principle. Think of the fact that we need to make decisions based on principle, not on our emotions, and consider always that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See you next time.
As Christians are called to conform to God's high standard, submitting their lives to Jesus Christ, we need to especially guard ourselves against worldly influences that could direct us away from that will. If you'd like a copy of today's message for only $5 US, please call Amazing Discoveries at 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. And be sure to mention today's date. Brian Newman will be with us for the next few weeks, and we are happy to make available Brian's personal testimony in a book entitled From Rock and Roll to Rock of Ages. The book shares Brian's story of how God brought him out of the world into a personal relationship with Jesus, and how his life has changed from a worldwide rock star to a worldwide ambassador for Jesus Christ. The book is only $11 US and also provides many insights into choosing good music and how worldly music is affecting the Christian way of life. To obtain a copy of this book, please call us toll-free at 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. Or check our web store at www.amazingdiscoveries.org. For those wishing to write, please send your comments or donations to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. For those in the US, please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. This radio ministry is listener supported. Your donations go directly to radio airtime. We appreciate your help to keep Faith on the Line on this station. We will now leave you with a song arranged and produced by Brian Newman entitled Amazing Grace from his latest CD, Abide With Me. That's also available through Amazing Discoveries. I'm Jason Hernberg. Have a great day and God bless.
blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fear. How precious is that grace appeared the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on.
Just been listening to Brian Newman with a song entitled Amazing Grace. Brian Newman is touring the US and Canada this fall, sharing his research and insights on music in a number of churches across the country. If you have enjoyed his presentations on the radio, we would greatly appreciate your kind donations to help finance the music series Voices of a Dying Planet, being brought to North America in November. Brian's series have been a blessing to many in the past, and we thank you for being a part of bringing that blessing to others with your donations. Your tax-deductible donations can be sent to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3, or call us at 1-866-572-9457. Again, your donations are tax deductible, and you can even call us with a Visa or MasterCard number for quick processing of your donation. Brian's message is a vital one and needs to go out to all churches around the country. If you are interested in booking Brian Newman for a music series in your church, please call the office at 1-866-572-9457.